Welcome, and if it's your first time with us, I hope you catch the heart of the house today, is that we want all that God has for us. And I just sense a healing presence of the Spirit of God in this place. And I hope that you would just invite all that the Lord has for you this morning inside your life. If you have your Bibles, open up to the book of Acts. Acts is what we know as the fifth book of the second part of the Bible. We have the Old Testament and New Testament, and Acts is the fifth book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And we're going to dive into the book of Acts, spend most of our time in Acts chapter 2. We are in this series called Interruption. I almost said Elevation. Interruption. And we're just praying that the Spirit of God would just interrupt the status quo and interrupt monotony of our church going, that we would be a people of Pentecost. We are a Pentecostal church, and we're going to talk about that term in a little bit. I hope that you did not miss last week, which it's Time Change Sunday, so we had a high volume of live stream, and not such a live volume of being here on Sunday morning, but that's Time Change Sunday. But you need to listen to last week. The Holy Spirit's really deepening something within us. But as an Assemblies of God church, we are part of what we call a fellowship, what some might say a denomination. We are a collection of churches around the world that endeavors to want as much of the Spirit of God as possible while reaching the world around us. And one day, Al Smith, he's one of our board members, him and I were on just a quiet drive in Georgia. There's a story behind that, but we're driving in Georgia, and as I am driving along, I notice Assemblies of God churches. I love just seeing different Assemblies of God churches around the world. I love visiting them, just noticing them. It just reminds me that we are not the only Assembly of God church or AG church. And as we're driving up, I see the sign. I'm like, oh, cool, there's another Assemblies of God, another Pentecostal church, and I notice as we're pulling up, there's a church next door to it, and they share the same driveway. Is it me, or is that a little awkward? Choose you this day. All right, every Sunday morning, you got to pull in, and so I just noticed that, and then I noticed the name of the other church, and life gets that much more awkward, because you've got, I'm not going to use the term because y'all will Google it, and I don't want to do that. No, we won't. Liar heads, you will. You've got the Assemblies of God Church, and across the driveway in big, bold letters, the real Pentecostal Church of said city. Something may have happened in the church's past that caused a little bit of we'll call it a split. Somebody said split. Y'all know what I'm talking about, church people. Something happened, and so you've got a Pentecostal church, and apparently the real Pentecostal church of said city. And I drive by, and honestly, my heart's broken, and at the same time, I want to pull around and take a picture and Instagram it, and I did fight temptation. It's a fruit of the Spirit. We'll talk about that later. That's self-control. It's got to be the glory, self-control. We just want to get things together. And when I think about church, one of our staff members pointed this out the other day. It is amazing how much we take that which is of God, and specifically with our series on the Holy Spirit, it's amazing how we take and we put so much Holy Spirit emphasis on 1% of the week. What do I mean by that? There are 168 hours in a week. You can check my math on that. I know that one's right. I use a calculator and ask somebody. Then, if you check out what is 1% of 168, and that's 1.68. So roughly the time frame of a Sunday morning when Pastor Dave preaches way too long. So think about this. If we are a church that desires a deeper emphasis on the Spirit of God, why is it that the definition of a spirit-filled church or a Pentecostal church is based upon what happens in 1% of the entire week. Because I don't believe the Spirit of God was given for us so that 1% of our week would be affected. God did not send us the Holy Spirit so that 1% of our week could be awesome and we can hoop it up. Someone said hoop it up this morning instead of hoot. God, there we go. I wasn't going to name names. But God did not give us the fullness of the Trinity so that we can enjoy it for 1.68 hours of the week. And if that's all the Spirit of God touches, I would venture to say we are not really Spirit-filled. How can you say 1% of us is Spirit-filled and we don't let the Spirit of God touch the other 99%? Because what we see in the book of Acts is an interruption to the status quo where the Spirit of God descends upon this brand new church, not so the 1% of the week can be fun. We could have the lights and the show and this and that, but so that the 99% would look nothing like the status quo. And so this whole series has been all about cleaning out the garage. The weather's getting right and y'all know it's coming. Nobody's excited about cleaning out the garage. I enjoy cleaning out the garage because my goal is I bring everything out on my lawn last year, I brought everything out on my lawn and someone pulled up and says, where are the prices? I'm like, to what? Your yard sale. I'm like, how much are you willing to pay? I won't tell my wife what I sold. Actually, I sold her bike last year without telling her. Hey, yeah. Marriage moment, don't do that. Totally serious, I did it. $20 in my pocket. The point of cleaning out the garage, I bring everything out so I can fit both cars in. And the point is to decide what needs to really belong in there and how it needs to be organized. And I really wanted this whole series to be all about that. Can we take out everything that we thought about the Holy Spirit? Just bring everything out and ask ourselves what really truly belongs in our hearts. And every week is what do we move back into our hearts? And today is all about a radical openness. Spirit of God, what would you have for us? John chapter 16, verse 7 was really a radical statement of Jesus to his closest friends. He had called all of these people away. He pulled them all away from their jobs, and now Jesus is pulling away from them. Almost sounds like a bait and switch. Hey, come away. Guess what? I'm going away. But he says, it's best if I go away because I'm going to send to you one, the original language would say, one who is like me. In fact, the original language, it's the word advocate, or in Greek, the word is paraclete. Jesus says, it's good I go away because I'm going to send you the Spirit of God. He is going to be the advocate. He's the comforter. He is the one who comes alongside of you during any place and any time in your life. That's the beautiful thing about the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God is always with us. And so Jesus goes to the cross. He rises again. And he is still talking about this to the disciples. Acts chapter 1, verse number 4 says, as he was eating with them. Now notice, Jesus is resurrected. That encourages me that we can eat after the resurrection. There's a whole talk about that. We're not going to do that this morning. And he says, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Sorry. It's my symbols of godness. So the apostles were with Jesus, and they kept, now notice it says, and they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? Now, I think that's quite funny. Jesus is like, listen, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's coming. The Holy Spirit's going to be, he's not just going to come upon you. He's going to come within you. They're like, cool, let's talk about politics. And they kept asking him. And so Jesus replies, the Father alone has authority to set those dates and times. They're not for you to know, but Let's get back to the point. You will receive power. I love that Jesus really just avoids the question. Hey, Jesus, when are you going to restore Israel? It'll happen at some point, but sometime. But guess what? The Spirit of God's going to come. But what about the government? The time will come, but guess what? The Holy Spirit's coming. I love when Jesus avoids the question, and he's not necessarily avoiding it. He's trying to let them know what he thinks is most important. You know what? I celebrate the time when God, when I feel like he's ignoring my prayers or ignoring the things that I want, because there are times that he's not necessarily ignoring them or necessarily avoiding them. He's trying to redirect me toward that which is more important than my own wants. And this is what Jesus is speaking. I know what you all want. But can he give you something better than what you're asking for? Then we get to Acts chapter 2. Because he's like, chill in Jerusalem. Chill out and wait. And it says, on the day of Pentecost, can we just slow the scriptures down a little bit here? On the day of Pentecost. Now, when some of you guys hear the word Pentecost, for some of you, there are no feelings associated with the word Pentecost. Others of you, you have images, you have got feelings, you've had experiences that made you gun shy regarding the word Pentecost. I have grown up in this thing. Everything about us when I grew up was described as Pentecost. When we got ready for church in the morning, we had Pentecostal preachers on the TV while we got ready. When my parents are yelling at me about not getting ready fast enough, they're screaming at me while the Pentecostal preachers are screaming at me. I just grew up in this thing. But for some of you, you've got no feelings. Some of you have awkward feelings, but if you want to know, the word Pentecost actually just means the word 50. That's all it means. It's 50, and it actually refers to a specific Jewish festival. If you look in the book of Exodus, God commanded that three festivals would be recognized. What are the three festivals? I'm glad you've asked. You've got the Festival of Tabernacles, you've got Passover, and then you've got Pentecost. Passover happens how many days before Pentecost? 50. Oh, some of y'all get a Pop-Tart for that one. 50. And so you've got Passover that takes place that refers to the book of Exodus and the last plague and the Passover that took place there. And then we've got what is known as Pentecost or the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of First Fruits. It commemorates the grain harvest. So when we use the term Pentecost, it doesn't always refer to what we know it to be. There is an actual feast, and what took place happened on the day of Pentecost. Why is that important? It's because everybody is flocking to Jerusalem. All of the Jews that lived on the outskirts of Jerusalem or in other places begin to flock toward the city. Something is happening there, and it says, and all the believers are meeting together in one place. And there's a sound from heaven like a roaring mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Now, let me stop there, because some of you will have in your translation, they were meeting together and they were in one accord. Can I say one of the greatest miracles that we miss here is not necessarily that the Spirit of God came down, but is that church people actually got together and were in unity. Yeah. Thank you, Dana. Awesome. We've got this moment where they come together, it says, in one place. Now, there are actually two different ways to view the one place, one of which where they were in a upper room that was a part of the home where they were staying. When we went to Israel a couple years ago, we went to a place that's traditionally known as the upper room and got the chance to see and experience it. Some commentators believe that this was actually describing them at the temple. So in essence, where most of us think, well, they got together in an enclosed area, this could have been on the temple steps. It just depends upon the translation and the commentator. And it says in verse 2, suddenly, this wasn't on the church agenda. They were just waiting, like Jesus said. Suddenly, I love the fact that sometimes God does things outside of our agenda. I love the fact that they had no clue. God, loves to move in suddenness. That's why I say if we're gonna be a spirit-filled people, let's stop regulating the move of the spirit to 1% of our week. Let's say, let's have such a radical openness to God so that if we are somewhere in the marketplace or in our neighborhoods, that all of a sudden we can see the Spirit of God use our lives instead of saying, whoa, that's too sudden. That's not between the hours of 10 and 11:30 unless Pastor Dave preaches long. Let's give the 99. And it says that it came in like a mighty roaring of a mighty windstorm. Now that's important. Why is that important? Because the Greek word and the Hebrew word for spirit both mean wind. And it says in verse 2-4, and it filled the house where they were sitting, and what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the ability. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 says, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave lives in us. I am a firm believer that our 99% of our week would look so different if we would just understand that the same Spirit that revived the church there in the upper room was the same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave, is the same S-A-M-E Spirit that lives in you and me. And what would our life look like if we realized the same Spirit that raised Jesus, the same Spirit that filled the people right there, lives in all of us? What would our 99 truly look like? What would that look like? What would it feel like? Some of you, it freaks you out. Well, God wants to do something at work where everybody cusses. Yes! God wants to do a work in my life at family gatherings, or when I'm out on a date with my spouse? Yes. God wants to guide me with my kids? Believe me, I need it. We need it. Verse 5, I'm gonna wander too far away. And at that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. Why? They were all traveling there for pilgrimage. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running. And they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. And they were, underline that, completely amazed. How can this be, they exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. And if you see all of those places I can't pronounce, those are where they're all from. And we hear all these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. I want you to make a little note about this because we're gonna get into this next week when we talk about perfect gifts and flawed vessels. What we are given, they're called signs. Why are they signs? Because the signs ought to point towards somebody and it's not you. And what was being proclaimed was not the goodness of the church, it was the goodness of Jesus. I love this. Verse 12, and they stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Those words, amazed and perplexed. That word perplexed means confused. It quite literally means they were surprised and confused. I'll be honest, I love to be surprised by God. I don't enjoy being confused by God. Does God confuse me? Yes. Because I would like him to act how I want to act and when I want him to act, and when he doesn't, I'm confused. My God, I had a better idea, didn't I? There's sometimes that God waits on things because his ways are not my ways and his thoughts are not my thoughts. But I've learned to understand if I want that which is amazing, I have to also give room for that which is perplexing. I want the amazing, but often the perplexing is always coming alongside because there's some things I cannot explain that I do have to have levels of faith in this. But let me understand that when we experience the amazing or if we experience the confusing when it comes to the Holy Spirit, can I encourage all of us, let those two lead us to seek God more deeply, because if not, if we don't allow it to lead us toward a deeper heart, it will lead us toward a skeptical mouth. a critical mouth. Why? Glad you asked me that question. Verse 13, but others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, they're just drunk, that's all. Which Peter gets up and says, drunk, it's only 9 in the morning. If you're getting drunk at 9 in the morning, there are deeper things going on. And on top of that, look back at all of the nations that are being represented with mouth. They are filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to speak in other languages, and people are recognizing, like, people who have never spoken Egyptian, when you're drunk, you don't turn into a linguist specialist and just begin to speak other languages. In fact, your language gets worse. We have Pamphylia. People are speaking Pamphylian. Is that a word? I don't know what that, if that's, but Peter's like, it's just 9 in the morning. Give us a little credit. Understand something is taking place. Now, when we look at Pentecost and the day of Pentecost, there are really three groups that we see here in the book of Acts, but I promise you they're the same three groups that we will find here on a Sunday morning. We will find, number one, those that have an encounter with the Spirit of God and are just simply amazed. You're just completely amazed because you've encountered. Some of you this morning, maybe you're not used to this style of church, but something about the worship time and the prayer time, something caught your heart that has left you really amazed, maybe even a little bit perplexed. But there's something that just says, I encountered God. I may not be able to explain it, but I know it. There are those here where you're watching people worship with hands upraised. I had one person come and say, listen, I'm not used to worshiping like this, and it seems a little weird, but it seems right at the same time. It's true. But there are those that just come and they're like, what is going on? Book of Acts. And they actually want answers. And they're genuinely seeking answers. And then there are those who can't explain and will just simply decide it's not right. It's not what I would do in worship. I wouldn't lift my hand so it can't be right. I wouldn't get on my knees. I wouldn't cry. I wouldn't jump. I wouldn't sing like that. So therefore, if it's not what I want, then it's not right. But let me say that God does not fit into our preconceived ideas. He moves the way that he wants to move, and he operates like the wind. It was at the age of 15, I was a sophomore in high school, and I just turned 15, and I was really seeking the Holy Spirit in a very deep, deep way. I had just really rededicated my heart to Jesus. I strayed for about 10 years, just playing church, but just aching over the death of my brother. It lingered with me for a decade, and just could not get over it. But at the same time, I think part of the bitterness growing in my heart was not just what happened to our family, but I grew up in this, and there was almost this entitlement thing. Why am I not experiencing what other people are experiencing? Can I be real with you today? Really doesn't matter your answer. I'm going to do it anyways. I began to get frustrated internally, and I remember those friends of mine that almost made it sound like something was wrong with me because they were experiencing some things and I wasn't experiencing what they were experiencing. And so I heard things like, well, maybe there's sin in your life. Possible. I'm a sinner. Anybody else sinners? All right, good night alone. Maybe you need to fast more. And I rebuked that idea because I like food. We need to preach on fasting because I think fasting is tremendous. But I was a 15-year-old and not always thinking straight. Like the rest of the 15-year-olds of the world. But I grew up wondering if something was wrong and if I was lacking. Growing up in this thing, I knew it biblically that the Holy Spirit was with me. I knew that if you follow Jesus, then the Holy Spirit came and lived inside of you. And I knew the Holy Spirit had been active in my life, even when I was straying away. I can look back and see moments where the Holy Spirit was working in my life, and I didn't even realize it in the moment. When I gave my life back to Jesus, and really went on my faith journey in that age of 15, I began to see the Spirit of God use me in different ways, but I was comparing and diminishing what I was seeing with what everybody else was doing. And there are times I have been impatient with how the Holy Spirit worked and practiced in my life. You see, there are moments that the Spirit of God gave me peace, like when I knelt down at my parents' bedside and rededicated my heart to God, and I confessed all my hurt and all my pain and my anxieties and my brokenness, my bitterness. I remember the sense of peace the Spirit of God gave me that day. I remember moments where youth service, I would walk over and lay a hand on a friend's shoulder and said, I don't know why, I just felt like I was supposed to come pray for me. He says, how did you know what I was going through? I'm like, I don't. I just felt like I was supposed to. I didn't realize it was the Spirit of God guiding me. And yet I still saw what other people were gifted with the Holy Spirit. But yet I was frustrated and began to get all sorts of offense in my life at how the Holy Spirit was gifting others instead of really opening my heart up to the Lord. I was so adamant to get what somebody else had that I didn't have openness to the Holy Spirit. I had openness to what people had and possessed. And the Holy Spirit had to do a work in my life. And I remember that evening where I was down in the front, just worshiping, and the Spirit of God overwhelmed me. My mom will say to this day that that's when Dave Berenger changed. The quiet little kid changed. They haven't been able to shut me up since. But I never forget that day. And there are numbers of you that are asking the question in your mind, so when the Spirit of God kind of came on you in such a heavy way, did you speak in tongues in that moment? Some of you in the house are hoping I'll say yes. Some of you are hoping right now that I'll say no. Some of you, it just doesn't matter. But can I just say this? My hope this morning is not that you would hope in any gift, is that you would have an actual radical openness to God. Because I don't want the answer in my story to be your litmus test to determine how you respond to the Holy Spirit today. Let me say that again. I don't want the end of my story, which is quite the beginning of my story. I don't want it to be the litmus test to deter or direct your response to the Spirit of God today. Because the issue of tongues, we'll talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit next week. Please come back. Don't let that stir you away. We're not going to twist your arm. We're not going to zap you with anything. We're just going to talk about Scripture. But can I just encourage you today to just embrace an openness to the Spirit of God and saying, Spirit of God, do what you want. Because the topic of tongues is so much more than just one sermon. There's a conversation that goes with that. But yes, I spoke in tongues that day. But there's a statement I want you to write down, 9 simple words that simply say, respond to all God is with all you are. This has been my prayer for you this whole week. It's been my prayer for me. God, I want to respond to all you are with all I am. Not with 1%. But with the 99 plus the 1. Because I'm not here to push a gift. And I'm not here to push a manifestation. I am here to talk about the openness. In fact, I wrote this down. Openness to the Holy Spirit is not what's normative for God, but what's going to be the normal position of our heart. We've got to stop making one gift or a couple gifts the normal response to God. God blows like the wind, and there is no normal response. If you want to have proof, look at the way Jesus healed. Sometimes he just spoke a word. Sometimes he spat on the ground and made mud. If you've never read that story, that just freaked you out right there. It's okay. There are times he laid hands and spoke. Sometimes he sent others out. But I don't want our openness to the Holy Spirit about getting a specific response. All I want is a normal position of our hearts. Because I was the kid that said, Lord, ask me to do anything but pastoring. Ask me to do anything but be a missionary. Man, I made a list of them. Ask me to do anything, especially if it doesn't involve math. Openness of the Holy Spirit is not about getting a normative response or what you think you should get. It's about just the normal position of our hearts. Are we gonna seek him with all we have? And so I've just got a couple lessons for us to go through. Worship team, I need you guys to come on out. My Acts 2 lessons this morning are just really quite simple, and it's this. Number one, don't let people who turn you off to what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. Don't let the people who have turned you off, or the TV preachers, or the pastor, maybe there was an abusive church leader in your life, or people that told you, unless you do this, you don't even have Jesus in your life. Unless you have this manifestation, you're not really going to heaven. Can I say heaven is not going to be sectioned off for Pentecostals and non-Pentecostals up there? Who spoke in tongues? You guys go over there. Who did this? No, 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 no. Don't let people who've turned you off on the Holy Spirit turn you off on what the Spirit of God wants you to do. And I say the same thing about Jesus. There's some of you here that somebody has turned you off of Jesus because they said they were a Christian and they didn't act like Jesus. Can I encourage you? Don't let people who didn't act like Jesus turn you off from Jesus. You're in good company because we are a room of people that are still being perfected to be more like Jesus. None of us have made it. My wife's come close. None of us have made it. Brownie points. Number two, regardless of previous experiences, I want you to desire a fresh encounter of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we meet at 6 o'clock for just a night of worship and prayer and just being radically open to the Spirit of God. We're meeting at what time? 6 o'clock tonight. But I think that there is a issue of idolatry in the Pentecostal church. That sounds pretty heavy. I think that we as Pentecostals can have this propensity to worship a time in our life rather than say, come Holy Spirit and do a brand new work. And when we want the unexpected in a service, know what we're doing? We're actually expecting him to do what he did before. Can I say when the Spirit of God fell in Acts chapter 2, nobody said, well, that's not what happened when we were walking with Jesus. That's not how Jesus did it. Actually, it is. But it's in the Holy Spirit. And he was doing more. He's doing more. I want the Spirit of God active and operating in my life. I want more of the Holy Spirit. Which leads me to three. There are things in our spiritual lives that can't be explained without faith. There are going to be some things that happen within us. If we're going to be open to the Spirit of God, there's some things that you will not be able to explain without faith. It's just not possible. There are things I've understand that are going to happen to me, that are going to amaze me. They may confuse me a little bit, but I can enjoy that. But I want you to understand, at the end of the day, God responds to hearts more than perfect theology. Don't get me wrong, I believe in theology. I think theology is very important. I think it's huge because our theology changes the way we think, worship, and respond. But let me tell you this, the Pharisees in the New Testament, their theology wasn't necessarily bad. It was their hearts that was wrong. Jesus wants us to have open hearts. He's not waiting for you to get your act together before the Spirit of God comes upon your life. He just wants an open heart. I wrote this out this past week. If Christ had waited to love me till I got my act together, he would still be waiting. If the Holy Spirit waited until we got our act together before it's like, I'll show up now. No, we'd be waiting forever. Verse 14. Oh man, it's so good. Peter stepped forward with the 11 and shouted to the crowd, listen up, all of you, fellow Jews and residents, make no mistake. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is too much and too early for that. No. See, this is what was predicted a long time ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, Joel chapter 2, I will pour out my spirit upon all. Circle that word all. Look at this. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions and your old men will see dreams. Notice, it does not say it's just for the males. Men and women, every color, every nationality will have an outpouring of the presence of God. In verse 19, I will cause wonders in the heavens above as he responds to the radical openness. Peter gets up, who 50 days earlier denied Jesus. Talk about not perfect. He didn't take a class in 50 days and graduate to the Holy Spirit. 50 days after his denial, Spirit of God comes on and he speaks with boldness that there is a new day. Where do we go from here? It's just to say, Spirit of God, we want more of you. And if there's something that needs to change in the values of our life, it is a radical openness to the Holy Spirit. Because I've learned that if your values don't change, your life will never change. And if you only value a Spirit-led church and Spirit-driven church with 1% of your week, the rest of the 99 will ever change. And my prayer for us this week is that we would be a people that would value a radical openness to the Spirit of God. Because holy moments cannot be reserved for the 1%. A couple weeks ago, I was taking our car up to Walmart. I just go up to Walmart to get an oil change, so I get there first so I don't have to wait for anybody. And I show up, and normally I grab a coffee and I go sit in the waiting room. And about a year ago, the lady who's the cashier right there, she's like, why don't you bring me a coffee? I'm like, why don't you ask? And, she was sassy, I was sassy back. And she's like, well, bring me a coffee. So 3 months later, I come back for an oil change and I have my own coffee. She says, where's my coffee? She remembered. I'm like, my bad, I'll bring it next time. 3 months later, I show up with my coffee. She's like, where's my coffee? Oops. 3 months later, I show up. She's not there. So I'm like, ugh. So now it's been almost a year later. And I tell my aunt, I'm gonna go get two coffees. She's gonna be shocked a year later, I actually remember. That should tell you about my memory right there. I grab a coffee, I show up, and she's not there. And so I'm sitting in the waiting room, because honestly, I was so proud of me. Like, way to go, Dave. And I think I needed the moment, and after about 5-10 minutes, she walks in and she says, you remembered. I'm like, of course I remembered. And I hand her the coffee, and she says, well, Dave, we haven't seen each other in a while. I missed you in the fall. I said, yeah, I missed you. She says, well, my fiance had a heart attack and passed away. It's now me and our 12-year-old is left. It's just been a rough time. And so we sat in a Walmart waiting room in the oil change. Can I say we had a holy moment? In Walmart, the Holy of Holies took place at Walmart as we begin to talk and speak life. And we begin to talk about prayer. And we begin to just have this, just honestly, it's a simple little conversation. And we're trying to see what we can do to help. And I don't know what to do other than what can I do? I don't know what you can do. Hey, can we pray? I want to pray for you. Oh, we can pray. Can I bring more coffee the next time? You can bring more coffee. And I drove away just in tears. I'm like, God, we cannot reserve holy moments for 1%. We can't reserve holy moments for 1%. We need a radical openness to God that flows far beyond. So my prayer is this. Holy Spirit, we declare today that we want more of you. For we crave your presence. And we desire the power you bring to our lives, not for the sake of power, but for the sake of boldly declaring Jesus and more accurately representing Jesus to the world. Holy Spirit, forgive us for the places and times where we have grieved you, where we believed we had all of you we needed or all of you we wanted. So forgive us for the times when we told you how you could or couldn't act in our lives. Holy Spirit, I pray today that you would respond not to our theology, because some things we can't understand and explain, but you would respond to the openness of our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me today?